This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Friday marks the one-year anniversary of the June 2016 flooding that devastated parts of southern and central West Virginia and left 23 people dead. West Virginia Public Broadcasting is spending the next few days hearing from some of the people who were affected by the flood and those involved in the recovery efforts. This morning, we hear from Adjutant General James Hoyer of the West Virginia National Guard. He sat down with Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly to talk about how demolition and rebuilding efforts are going around the state and what the Guard learned from last year's historic flooding.
You mentioned this is just one lap in a long race and the economic state, but to try to leave it better than before, or, you know, perhaps an opportunity. Are you starting to see that to emerge a little?
Yeah, absolutely. And a great example is in Clendenin, at the old Clendenin Middle School, in a area that was 8 feet underwater on the 24th of June 2016. There is now an office for a software development company, Mind Minds, which has 11 of the 20 jobs that they've committed to that area. So who would have thought before the flood of last year that there would be software developers working in Clendenin, West Virginia? So now we've got an area that was flooded and just severely impacted where we've got software development work going on. And we believe that the potential for growth in that facility is potentially up to 40 to 50 people down the road. So that's a great example of changing who we are as a result of dealing with some really bad circumstances.
And you were talking before as well. I mentioned that I had talked to some of the emergency workers, and some of them said that they're pretty much back to normal. Would you say that that's pretty accurate for some
people? I think that's accurate. I think we have counties that while there may still be a couple of homes being rebuilt or a business going back to into play, that they are pretty well back to where they were. But we also have counties like Nicholas County, upper end of Kanawha County, Greenbrier County from Raynell over to White Sulphur, Clay County, who are still in that first lap of that long race.
The National Guard, the West Virginia National Guard, has been overseeing a somewhat newer project from FEMA, the demolition project. How has that been going?
It's going pretty well. We had a total of roughly 750 applications for the demolition program. I think we've got over 600 of those which have been certified to be eligible. I think we'll get closer to the 750 as we move along. A little over 300 homes, I think, now have been removed. And it's the great part of that is getting a phone call from, for example, from Habibi Mamone, who works the Neighbors Loving Neighbors piece, that says, can you get that home down faster because Mennonite Disaster Services is ready to come in and rebuild that house. And then we get it set up so it's built above the floodplain, and we get it so that it's not impacting insurance rates, and we're ready to go. And we've got a lot of examples of that going on. The last time I talked with the folks from VOAD and Jenny Ganaway, we're in the hundreds of homes that are being rebuilt now, and that doesn't include the ones that have just been rehabbed. So, again, I think we've made great progress, but understand that there were over 9,000 applications for FEMA assistance as we hit the height of this thing. So this is not something we're going to fix in 1 year, much less 2 years, and then throw in on top of that rebuilding schools. But I will tell you that the process, for example, at Herbert Hoover High School, they're well into the planning process for what their new school is going to look like. So we manage a lot of different extremes. We've got some that haven't you know, moved as fast. We've got others that are sometimes moving faster than we can keep up with.
And sticking with the demolition program, does it seem particularly important in West Virginia? I know as a lifetime resident, it seems like the communities that I'm familiar with just have an abandoned building problem to start with. Has this been, you mentioned opportunities as well, mm-hmm. has this also been an opportunity in that sense as well?
It has. We were able to work very effectively with the folks from FEMA and put some state dollars to the process. And in Richwood, there were, I think, over 35 homes that were already abandoned structures that they were working to deal with related to making sure that the community continued to develop, that it didn't create drug and other problems in the community. And we were able to pull those together and be more able to cost effectively get those out of the way. So you're right, it's creating some opportunities for us to build a new landscape for the future for some communities.
With a little help.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to move on to lessons learned that we might be able to take away from this. I think immediately there were some discussions about it, and perhaps more things have emerged over the past year. But is there anything particular you think that West Virginians and we as a state or communities might have learned that might help us or other possible potential flood victims in the future?
Yeah, I think a couple of things as we continue to look back on what we did well, what we didn't do well. One of the things that we saw that we needed, and we have in the Guard have partnered with our first responder partners, is we're training a whole cadre of folks to do swift water rescue. We had the Guard folks and the high water vehicles. We didn't have the level of training that we needed on the swift water rescue side to as effectively partner with our civilian first responder counterparts. And in this case, that was a very important piece. Now, I will tell you that we improvised and we did what we needed to do. But part of my job is not just to look at the safety of the citizens of West Virginia in those responses. It's to ensure the safety of my guardsmen and the first responders and law enforcement folks who have to do that mission. Mm-hmm. And being better trained at that is clearly something that we need to work. And you're going to see a unique piece come about during the Boy Scout Jamboree where Guard folks who went through swift water rescue training are going to be partnered with their civilian counterparts that they were out on June the 23rd, 2016, rescuing West Virginians. They're now going to be providing the safety support to the Boy Scouts on the New River during the Boy Scout Jamboree.
Oh, neat.
So that's another thing that's come out of this that's hey, we're a lot better than we were going into it.
That was Jessica Lilly speaking with Adjutant General James Hoyer of the West Virginia National Guard. You can hear more from Hoyer during a new 30-minute Inside Appalachia TV episode about the 1,000-year flood in West Virginia. Watch it this evening at 6:30 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. More information is on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. Sunny skies today with highs in the 70s and 80s, partly cloudy tonight, low temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s, partly sunny on Wednesday with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. Communities across the Ohio Valley are shrinking as more young people leave to find work, to escape troubles, or to follow dreams. U.S. Census data show West Virginia, for example, losing population faster than almost every other state. West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the Ohio Valley Resource are following six young people from the region to get the personal stories behind these population numbers. Glennis Board introduces us to the series called The Struggle to Stay.
I mean, I'd love to be able to stay here. You know, the people were great, but it's just dying. And, you know, if you want to succeed, you got to leave.
This is Mark Combs, a 32-year-old actor and an Iraqi war vet from the Ohio Valley region. He's among this population of people who believe there has to be a better life or at least better economic opportunities elsewhere. He decided to set west and took a recorder along for the journey so that we could listen in on his experiences and maybe glean some lessons.
I think the job market is so much larger. The jobs are going to be really easy to come by.
Mark joins the more than 50,000 people who are leaving the state each year, according to Census Bureau estimates. But this region remains populated by all types of people wrestling with the decision to stay or go. It's a palpable part of what defines these hills and small towns. The Struggle to Stay series watches as these struggles unfold in the lives of six people in our region. We follow them for months to learn how they survive, either way. Like Derek Acow from Lynch, a coal camp town in Harlan County, Kentucky. For generations, Derek's family and others in the coalfield's African American community have found themselves leaving home to chase better wages. Derek left home with a college football scholarship, but a spinal injury took him off the field, so he came back.
In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky.
I'm not a big fan of country music.
That's the place where I trace my bloodline.
But, you know, you got me pumped up like crazy.
There I read on a hillside gravestone.
I love it.
We also follow people like Crystal Snyder, a single mother of two who wants to stay in the region. But she's worried it might be an irresponsible choice given all the industrial pollution the region is mired with.
Like when I think the toxic, you know, Chemical Valley and DuPont and, you know, mountaintop removal and the dust, and when you see a map and it shows you, like, this area of poverty, people die younger than they do over here in Virginia, and your mother died at 41, and that kind of makes you think, like, is it a good idea for me to leave my children here?
Is the grass really greener elsewhere? Again, veteran and actor Mark Combs.
So I am homeless, jobless, with $10 accessible to my name. On the complete opposite side of the country.
We explore everything from the cost of living to the emotional push and pull many in this region feel about moving away, returning, having to leave again. Do you have to leave to succeed? And is staying worth the hustle, the heartache, the drugs, addiction, pollution, and poverty? Well, that's kind of what we're trying to find out. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Glennis Board.
Visit wvpublic.org to hear more of the Struggle to Stay series. The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.